Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. This is Lori Leiker, your host, a business coach and author of 7 books on a variety of business subjects available on Amazon right now. Today, my guest is Myrna King, a business coach from Austin, Texas. And Myrna's company is called A Life Aligned. Welcome to the show, Myrna.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Lori. I'm excited.
You explain the mission of A Life Aligned, your company.
Well, I do 2 kinds of coaching. Thanks so much for asking. The first kind is sort of project-oriented coaching. So if there's a challenge that's kind of disrupting your life, whether it's weight loss or dating again or growing your business, or your business has taken over your life and restoring some work-life balance. So if there's a project component, we can coach you through a project beginning, middle to end, get you across the finish line, and then restore some order. Another kind of coaching I do is a little more overarching, where I work with clients for 6 months or a year, and we work in a number of components of someone's life, really get their life fully aligned to the kind of life they want to be living. And so those are the 2 kinds of coaching that I do.
What is it about coaching? Coaching has not been a regular part of business forever. I mean, it's something that's relatively new. What's the difference between a consultant and a business coach?
Oh, well, that's a really great question, and I think there's quite a bit of confusion. Professional coaching, sort of as we know it today, has been around since Thomas Leonard founded Coach University or Coach U 20 years ago. And he created a lot of the languaging and the dynamics and the structure around what it means to be a professional coach. So he was one of the founders of this business. So I work both as a coach and a consultant, depending on what a client needs, and have 20 years of consulting in my background. So as a consultant, people ask for a specific deliverable. They need a specific result, whether you're teaching their staff how to do something, or whether you're writing a piece of software code, or whether you're realigning their supply chain. There's a very specific thing that needs to happen, and you hire a consultant who makes it happen. And then the consultant gets paid and they go away. So it's not a long-term, it's generally a smaller investment, and it's very specific what needs to be done. In coaching, the activity is much more action-oriented by all the parties involved. So you could have an IT consultant come in and sit in the, you know, back desk near the computer, and nobody else even knows what's going on except somehow the website stops crashing, but nobody else is participating. With coaching, there's much more participation, whether you're coaching a team or coaching an executive. It's much more impactful, and it takes a lot more actionable work and steps on the part of the person being coached. So the level of engagement is much larger, and so the level of return is larger. For some of our coaches that we work with in Austin, they do both consulting and coaching. Coaching is more rewarding because of the transformation that happens with the people that are being coached. You change them for the rest of their lives in positive directions. Where with consulting, you know, it's nice to be good at something and to be paid to provide that service, and then it's over. So that's nice too, but it's less transformational.
With coaching too, coaches hold people accountable, where consultants are held accountable. Coaches hold
right.
other people accountable.
Yeah, and I think there is a much more two-way street in coaching, where you're right, it is a one-way street. I hired you to provide X and to provide it by this date and on this budget. And then X gets provided by that date at that, you know, price point. So it's a very one-sided transaction. And for some challenges, consulting is exactly the right answer. For other challenges, coaching is the right answer. So it's good to work with a coach who has some consulting background so they can tell the difference.
Now, one of the things that has come up time and again, and at least in my practice and I know in yours as well, is these big transitions that companies are making. They're downsizing, they're reducing their workforce or trying to do more with less in terms of people. And so people are having to make big transitions in their lives. What, as a coach, what would you do in a situation like that? What types of things would you help someone through when they're going through a big transition like that?
Well, that's a really great question, Lori. I think you have to start with where the person is at in the situation. So maybe the company has flattened, as so many companies have, and you're a survivor in the layoff, and you have survivor's guilt. You know, you're one cubicle over, two desks down the hall. Those people are gone, and you survived, and now you have to do their jobs as well. So the good news is you can still feed your family. The bad news is you also do John and Mary's work, and John and Mary are no longer there. So where a coach starts is with kind of how the person is interacting and interpreting what has happened to them. So for some, they might think, well, you know what, John and Mary were dead weight anyway. This is the right direction for the company, and I'm happy to take on these tasks because I can do it more efficiently and we're more likely to survive as a company. And other people might feel, this is awful. I love those people. I can't stand these circumstances. I'm not sure I want to stay here either. So, you know, people's response to the circumstances they find themselves in is generally where you start. And then you coach them through how to navigate the impact on them and the people around them, their family, their friends, their other work colleagues, about how do we move forward given that circumstances are what they are.
What I know when I was working at Honeywell as a consultant, we were doing layoffs at one of their manufacturing plants. And the biggest thing that some of these people expressed was the fear that they've been with this company for 20, 30 years, and they don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And so having to help them circumnavigate that, what kinds of things do you have people do that will get them over the fear?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. We find that with military people, don't we, who come out of the military and they have to sort of transition into the private sector and figure out how those skills kind of translate. Or people that are coming out of industries that are, you know, getting smaller, people coming out of coal, or right now people coming out of oil in Texas. Mm-hmm. And if you're involved in a logistical supply chain, that's a little more obvious how those skills translate to someone else who has a logistical supply chain. And if you're offered, you know, working in human resources, some of those things, the skill set very obviously transfer into another industry, some of them not so obviously. So usually where we start is some kind of task assessment. We look at, well, let's just identify everything in your wheelhouse. These are the things you are demonstrably good at. These are things you are demonstrably not good at and don't like to do. So let's just build out our universe for this is what I'm good at, this is not what I'm good at. And then from there, look at who needs that list of skill sets. What kind of work requires that? And then do a search based on that. It leads to two things. One, they can legitimately say, I can do this job because I know how to do the things this job needs doing. And two, I could be happy doing it because I was happy doing this where I just left. I'm good at it, and I'd be happy to do it for you. So that takes some of the fear out of transitioning when you can identify specific skill sets that translate properly.
And I found, too, that along with that, once they embrace those skill sets and the opportunities that are ahead of them, they come out on the other side much happier because we retired out 200 people, and there was only one person afterwards, 5-6 years after, that was not happier afterward. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was like, oh, I didn't realize how miserable I was. You know, look at all the opportunities I have now. So change is not always a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's built in, isn't it, to the human condition. I mean, there's no stopping it. So sometimes we can be paying attention to the direction of change. And other times there are other parts of our life, maybe not our work, that have enough changes and our focus is there. And then when a career transition happens or work transition, it's, you know, another thing to be working with. But change can be very positive and very good if you can embrace it, as you say, and know that good things can come from new opportunities.
do you find that grief also plays a role in transitions, the grieving process?
You know, it's interesting. A number of coaches that I know, that is a component, handling the emotional component, and it's not necessarily just the person that you're working with. If your lifestyle is at risk, if you can't make the mortgage payment, or your child is going to have to defer going off to college, or some other kind of thing happens because of a career transition, there are a number of people impacted. All of them can be having, you know, emotional components to the transition, some of which are grief or loss. And it's typically not the kind of loss as if you'd lost a loved one, but it is a loss nonetheless, because you're, the world order you were waking up to every day is not the same anymore. And you begin to question your worth, and you take a new look at the bigger picture. As you say, from that manufacturing layoffs, if you spend X number of years at a place, you get very inured to, this is what my life looks like. And then when that change happens, you have to wake up to, well, now my life is different. What does this mean? The process of that transition, as you say, often includes grief and navigating that.
Well, and you're grieving the loss of the life you thought you would have.
Mm-hmm. The future that you saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's true even if you move across the street, your whole outlook changes. Isn't it true that we moan and complain when daylight savings time starts, and then when it stops, we complain about that too? And in the summer, we want it to be winter, and in the winter, we want it to be summer. So we hate change of any kind. So when you've got a big upheaval, I often wonder whether or not our aversion to change has to do with the fact that change makes us pay attention, and we would rather go through life just kind of floating.
I think, too, you know, we all have seasons in our life. So the way that coaches speak about it, and some mental health practitioners speak about it today, is resiliency. How resilient are you about navigating change? Since we know change is built in, so we're younger and then we're older, we're in school and then we're out of school, we're in a relationship and then we're out of that relationship, you know, change is built in. So one of the ways to speak about a change you're going through is how your resilience is supporting the new activities that are required as a result of the change. So if it's time to put your resume together and go out and look for another job, or if it's time to pack up somebody's things because he or she is moving out and you're not in a relationship anymore, your sort of comfort, your internal resiliency can help you with the emotional complexity of what next steps look like and how it feels to move through those next steps. I think coaching really helps with that, because they can help identify, well, here's some things you might anticipate and some things that you might feel. In coaching, we try to encourage people to just go ahead and feel the feelings and let them pass. Stormy weather comes, but then the dawn does return. So to let the storm pass through and, as you say, pick yourself up and look at what your options are and pursue some of those. So.
Yeah, and you don't let yourself get totally derailed by the change. You just keep
mm-hmm.
moving.
Yeah, and I think, too, change is very useful in terms of perspective. Sometimes the biggest difficulty in change is how you perceive other people looking at you. You know, how long has your neighbor Bob been out of work? Or how long has it been that the child across the street has been in a rehab facility? So changes that happen and are transacted in your life, sometimes the biggest pain point besides how it's affecting you is how you think other people think of you because of the change that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I hadn't even thought of. We have a situation with a gentleman who was out on disability because he has several different physical ailments that make it impossible for him to work, and people look at him and say, well, you're a big healthy guy, why aren't you working? Mm-hmm. Not realizing that there's something else. So judgment is so key. Other people's judgment is so key. Mm-hmm. As a coach, how do you work with someone to get past worrying about what other people think?
Yeah, I think one of the first steps is always to have some language to describe it. You know, we use words to say, this is how I'm feeling about that. And kind of a word similar to resilience is when you're thinking about how other people are thinking about you or people that you care about, we talk about external validation. So do I need, you know, my neighbor Susie to not say bad things about me for me to be happy? If I haven't even questioned whether I need Susie to be saying the right things about me at the grocery store or at the post office, then working with a coach or, you know, a friend or a counselor to talk about, well, let's just see, how much does it really matter in my life if Susie is deriving the wrong opinion about why Bob is not working anymore? So that external validation and letting go of the need for people to approve of you in a specific way in specific circumstances can be very freeing, and then let you get that energy and attention that's bound up in what will people think of me, and turn that attention, that energy into here's how I'm prosecuting some new options for myself.
You mentioned, you know, you can talk to a coach or to a friend. Do you find that the more disconnected we become from one another through, you know, through technology and whatnot, that having a coach is becoming more and more important in people's lives, both business and personal?
I do think that coaching is coming, you know, of age. 20 years in, there's more appreciation for what a coach can offer a person in terms of transformational opportunities, achieving results more quickly than they might otherwise do so. So you find people who are highly motivated often engage in coaching because they want to get a result sooner rather than later, and they're willing to put another person on the team to make that happen. I don't know how much of it is the connected part. And it's in our time of changing technology, people can feel connected in LinkedIn and in Facebook and in their Twitter feed when there's not really a human person-to-person connection there. So you feel you're part of a network of people, but that may not be a network that is supportive in a time of trial or a time of transition. So sometimes when people begin to look at their networks, because they're facing a big transition, they see people fall away from their network. Oh, this is a person who I thought I would get support from, but I'm not getting it. And I supported that person when they needed help, so I'm curious about that. Particularly, we notice people who face cancer transitions or other life-threatening diagnosis challenges where their life is in upheaval and then their loved ones are facing that also, a big change in their life. You find out who are the people that can stand with you given these new circumstances and who can really not stand with you given your new circumstances. So there's a realignment of kind of your network of people that, you know, love and care about you when you face transitions, and that can be another level of grief or loss. You know, I really like my friend Jill, and I helped her when her husband was out of work, and now my husband's out of work and she doesn't return my calls, and I don't really understand that. So working with a coach to kind of navigate, okay, so that was then and this is now, and it's time to realign how that is. Let go of Jill or just express concern and ask for help from her. You know, there are a number of different ways to interface with this change, acknowledging it, exploring it, and making a decision about what you want to do next. Coach can help with that, and I think that the different levels of connection have really changed for people. So technology is a big part of that.
Also, when you're looking at those changes and the people who come and go, a coach can also help someone realize that it's not that person is bad because they're not playing a role in helping you, even though you help them. They may not be emotionally equipped to handle what you're going through.
Sure.
And so
sure,
it has to be a different kind of relationship than what you anticipated it being.
I think, too, a coach can help you explore the nuance of that. So if you arrived at, in our example, Jill is not there for you and you were there for Jill in a time of similar trial, how would you reach out to Jill? How much does it matter to you that Jill is not there? And, it, you know, as often as not, when as coaches we ask people, well, open a door of conversation with our, you know, example of Jill. you might find that she's just brought her mother in from an Alzheimer's home because they can't afford to keep her. And so now they have a part-time nurse, and their family is disrupted with some other component unrelated to what's going on with you, and you just don't know about it. So opening a door to conversation, to learn more and to express yourself, takes the stress out of what's going on, and I thought, you know, I was owed this, or I think this would be the right answer, and it's not what's happening. There's quite a bit of nuance. And when you have an honest conversation that's based in, I care about you, and here's my concern, can we talk about this? Coaches can help people with those difficult conversations and resolve kind of open issues that way, so that, again, there's no attention on any sort of negative feedback or interaction. Why isn't Jill helping me? It's, I get that. Jill's not in a place to help me. We do love and care about each other, and this is just how the chips have fallen. So, yeah, I haven't lost my friendship with Jill, but both of us are wholly occupied with what's happened in our lives, and we're going to circle back at Christmas time or something. So,
do you find that corporations are getting more open to inviting coaches in to work with not just their executives, but with employees as well?
Yeah, I think it's every corporate culture is a little bit different, and good corporations deliberately design culture rather than just letting it transpire. And so it really starts at the top. We hear about, famous companies that love coaching from the top down, and there's so many different ways to coach in a corporation: team building and leadership retreats, as well as effective delegation and time management, something you're an expert in. So there's all different levels of coaching for different kinds of results that need to be produced. But I would have to say that we are kind of at the dawn of the recognition of the value of coaching in corporate America.
Now, one thing that you and another coach in Austin, Anita Lane, have put together is the Austin Coaching Coalition that kind of drives that recognition. Tell me a little bit more about the Austin Coaching Coalition.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a labor of love. I met Anita about a year ago, and we both felt like coaches do better in community. And what could we do to achieve sort of two objectives? The first one being, how do we give coaches kind of a coachy place to support each other and do cross referrals in each other's areas of expertise and become better coaches? And how do we also get the Austin community to be coached? So there is still a lack of knowledge that predominates when you have a conversation about, hey, I'm a coach. As often as not, they'll ask you, what sport? So the idea that you could be a professional coach unrelated to athletics is new for some people. And then explaining what the value would be in being coached around something. So we hope to offer a little more enlightenment about the value of coaching to our community, and then help more people get coached with great coaches. So that was the thrust behind the coalition, and our website's been up about 6 months now, so we're very excited to have approximately 30 coaches engaged right now in helping Austin get coached and in supporting each other in our individual coaching practices. And we're growing every month, more coaches joining. We recently were able to partner with the City of Austin during Small Business Week and invite small businesses in Austin to come to City Hall for some complimentary coaching. So it's a town that does embrace innovation and change, and we're lucky to be here.
Speaking of the efforts that the coalition put forth during Small Business Week, it wasn't just at City Hall. Speed coaching was being done at several co-working sites around Austin.
Mm-hmm.
What is speed coaching for those who don't know?
Oh, I guess it's the closest thing to think of is like speed dating. So, but you're not trying to find a romantic partner. We ask in speed coaching that you get 15 or 20 minutes to bring your one burning business challenge and have the focused attention of a business coach around that specific thing. So if it's delegation or time management or a supplier problem or a difficult vendor or you're concerned that your pricing mechanisms aren't quite delivering the profit margins you need, whatever business challenge you're facing, you can bring one challenge and hear some coaching around how that could be tackled, a different viewpoint, maybe some community resources, maybe a software referral. You know, here are different ways to tackle the problem you're tackling. And then they have the experience of being coached about something they care about in their business. So they actually get to eat our cooking, if you will. This is what it's like as a business owner to talk to a business coach about one of your business challenges. Then we also have opportunities for our life coaches and spiritual coaches to engage in those areas with the Austin population who's interested in coaching as well. So I think it helps to have the experience of being coached to understand, okay, I get the value now why people might do this.
I know that a lot of emphasis is going on business coaches, but the Austin Coaching Coalition covers any kind of coach from health and wellness and nutrition coaches to executive C-suite kind of coaching. What do you find is the biggest challenge for the coaching community in Austin?
You know, I think it's pretty dispersed, the coaching community. And again, another reason why we wanted to form the coalition is to create community for coaches of all various backgrounds and diverse practices. We all stand for the same thing, and that's producing the right outcome for a client, to get them to where they want to go, to experience the transformation they signed up for, whether it's a complete business process change or an overhaul of what's happening in business practices, or finding the love of their life or realigning their nutrition, whatever that is. We want to create opportunities for them to get that result. When you work with a coach, you get results more quickly, more completely, and then those changes remain on board. Once you've taken some coaching and activated in your life, you now know how to do that thing that you wanted coaching around, and you have that with you forever. So the long-term prognosis, you may face future challenges that you might need coaching around, but that particular challenge is generally resolved. So it's good to have a place to turn to when you have a challenge like that, and once and for all, you want it settled.
And you don't have to just settle for one coach. A lot of the coaches that are part of the coalition tag team, they work together. One's maybe a specialist in one kind of coaching, and it goes hand in hand with another expert in a different area of coaching. And so the members work together instead of being, well, this is my client and can't touch them. It's much more collaborative.
Right. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That offers
the biggest
thing for their buck. Yep.
One of the biggest assets to other coaches is the ability to work together.
Well, and I think it's suitable for the Austin community because we are a very collaborative community. It's been a blessing to work with coaches and then to help get Austin coached, absolutely.
If somebody wants to find out more about the Austin Coaching Coalition, how do they find you?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Lori. They go to www.austincoachingcoalition.com. So you can search for a coach and read a little bit about their profiles and reach out to them and explore whether coaching is for you.
Awesome. And what's your website address?
I think the Coaching Coalition is probably the best site to reach me. I think, too, they can reach you if they have business process coaching there. And you have another website, don't you, for your business coaching?
Yeah, Small Biz Coaching.net is mine.
Okay.
And thank you very much, Myrna. Any last words you'd like to share?
No, except I encourage people to go to Amazon and search for your book titles because those time management gems are out there. I encourage that.
Thank you very much, Myrna, for joining us. And just in the interest of transparency, Myrna is also my coach. And so even coaches need coaching. Thank you very much to Myrna King, business coach and co-founder of the Austin Coaching Coalition. Next week, we'll have I'm really excited about this. Shelley Delane, who's the owner of Orange Coworking in Austin, we're going to be talking about how coworking is changing the face of American business. Join us then. Thank you very much.